For many years as an annual gospel meeting presenter for a number of years, at least all the years I've been here, and I think several prior. So without further ado, Brother Keith, would you preach the word to us this morning?
Thank you, Mark. I don't know how you feel. Let me tell you how I feel. I feel like Moses. I feel like I need to take off my shoes because today I stand on holy ground because I stand before the holy people of God. And I just want to say from my heart, thank you for the invitation to be back with you. You're my family, and what a blessing to be with you. Mark loves you. He's your preacher, and I'm here to put a little water on that seed, and God will give the increase. I want you to do us a favor. For the next 4 days, would you pray for somebody by name? Maybe somebody who... is lost. Do you know anybody who's lost? Maybe your mom or your dad, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, somebody you work with, somebody you go to school with, maybe somebody who's already a Christian but just needs a closer walk with Jesus. Let me tell you what I find all across America. I find that praying churches are responding churches. What's going to happen this week? What's going to happen today? Will anybody be saved? Will anybody come and say, man, I just need to become a Christian? I'm a Christian, but I just need to be prayed for. What's going to happen today? Will you be praying about that even as I speak to you? And who knows what God may bring to the table. So I'm asking you for the next 4 days, starting today and then tomorrow and then on Tuesday and Wednesday, pray for somebody by name and who knows what God may bring to the table. What an honor to be back in this good city with this good church. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. We had a wonderful men's retreat this weekend, yesterday, and we studied from the book of Ephesians, and today we're going to start there, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start in verse 4. Are you with me? Put a smile on your face, a Bible in your hand, a seatbelt on, and listen carefully to the words of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 4, let's start in verse 4. Paul said there is one body. Everybody look up here. Everybody look. How many bodies do you see standing before you? Be nice, okay? Be nice. Just one body, right? Just one body. Well, sometimes the word body is used in the Bible in reference to the physical body. For example, right here in this same book, Ephesians 5, verse 28, Paul said, so ought men to love their wives as they love their own bodies. I'm to love Sandra, my wife. I've been married to her for 42 years. I'm to love my wife even as I love my body. And there the word body, or the word bodies, is used in reference to the physical body. That's not what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. When Paul said there's one body, he's not talking about the physical body. I mean, here this morning we have what? 150, 175 physical bodies. We're not talking about a physical body. We're talking about the spiritual body. You say the spiritual body? Yes. We're talking about the church. You say, Keith, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so, because right here in this same book, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Paul said that God had put all things under Jesus' feet, given him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. So when Scripture says there's one body, you know what Paul is saying? You know, don't you? He's saying there's one church. Don't be embarrassed about that. Don't be ashamed of that. God has a family, and we call that family the church. So there's one body and one spirit. You say one spirit? Yes, that's the Holy Spirit. You've heard of the Holy Spirit, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that God gives to all them that obey Him, Acts 5, verse 32. So there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. You say, Brother Keith, I hope to go to heaven. I'm with you. I agree. I would say amen to that. I hope to go to heaven. That's our hope. It's the hope of eternal life, Titus 1 and verse 2. He goes on to say there's one Lord that has to be Jesus. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6, 46. So there's one Lord and one faith. The gospel message is a message of faith to which we respond in faith. Without faith is what? Yeah, you know the book. You've heard the book. Mark has planted a lot of seed. I'm here for a few days to put a little water on that seed. God will give the increase. But you've heard the book. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there's one Lord and one faith, one baptism. You say one baptism? Yes. You've been baptized? How many baptized believers do we have? Many of you have been baptized, right? Baptized believer? Okay, you're baptized, you're immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And then Paul says in verse 6, there's one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. There's a word that Paul uses in this passage that I want you to notice with me. And the word that I'm talking about is what we sang about a few minutes ago. We have sung about hope. The guy that read the scripture, is it Tyler? The young man Tyler. Tyler, right? How many Tylers do you have in this church? Well, the young man Tyler that read the Bible a few minutes ago read about hope. I want you to go back to verse 4. Paul says there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one. You see the hope? There's one hope. Question. What does that mean? Do you have hope? Well, the word hope in Scripture carries with it at least two ideas. You say, Keith, I have hope. What do I have if I have hope? What do you have if you have hope? Well, it carries with it at least two ideas. Number one, it carries with it the idea of desire. If you hope for something, you really, really desire it, right? You want it. It's something that you really, really want. And then number two, it's what you really, really expect. You don't just want it and wish for it. You really anticipate it. You expect it. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. You probably would never, ever say, I hope to get sick. Is there anybody in this audience that hopes to get sick? You wouldn't say, I hope to get sick. Now, you may expect to get sick. Somebody in your family may be sick. Somebody at work may be sick. You may have been exposed to some sickness. But down deep, you don't want to get sick. So you would not say, I hope to get sick. You probably would never ever say, I hope to get fired. Do you hope to get fired? Now, you may expect to get fired. Your boss may be aggravated at you. You may have disappointed your boss. So you may expect to get fired, but down deep, you don't want to get fired. On the other hand, you probably would never ever say, oh, I hope to be a billionaire. Is there anybody in this audience that hopes to be a billionaire? Is there anybody in this audience that is a billionaire? If you are, I want to meet you, okay? You probably wouldn't say, I hope to be a billionaire. Now, you might want to be a billionaire, but you down deep don't expect that. You don't anticipate that, right? You may have a good job, but you don't anticipate being a billionaire. You probably would never ever say, I hope to go to the moon. Is there anybody in this audience that hopes to go to the moon? You might want to go to the moon. You might want to be an astronaut. But down deep, here it is, 2019, you probably don't expect to go to the moon. So what is hope? Hope is desire. It's something you really, really want, and it's something that you really, really expect. Question. Do you have hope? Do you have the hope of eternal life? If I were to ask you the question, if I were to ask you, if Jesus came today, and by the way, we sang, I didn't know what was going to be sung this morning. We sang about that. Did you notice when we sang, It Is Well With My Soul? We sang the last verse, and Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? Some time ago, I was teaching a Bible class. I had 85 students in this Bible class. 85 students, most of whom members of Churches of Christ, just like the people in this audience, most of whom Christians. And I asked the question like this. I said, if Jesus were to come right now, or if you were to die, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I don't know, or D, neither heaven or hell? I want to ask you the very same question. If Jesus were to come right now, today, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I do not know, or D, neither heaven or hell? That's the question that I asked my 85 students. Guess what the number one answer was? Number one answer in that Bible class. Take a guess. See, I don't know. I'm not sure. Three in that Bible class of 85 students said neither heaven or hell. If I were to die, Jesus were to come, I wouldn't go to heaven, I wouldn't go to hell. Frankly, I don't understand that answer. But three of them said neither heaven or hell. 11 in that Bible class of 85 students were open and honest. They said, we're lost. We'd go to hell. I'm hell-bound. 31 said, praise God, I'm going to heaven. But 40 in that Bible class of 85 students said, I'm not sure, I don't know. Well, again, I want to ask you the very same question. If you were to die today, or if Jesus were to come right now, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I do not know, or D, neither heaven or hell? Let me tell you what some of you are thinking. I'm not a mind reader, but I know people. I study people. I make my living with people. And let me tell you what some of you down deep are thinking if you're very, very honest. I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, I want to go to heaven. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't want to go to heaven. So, yes, you want to go to heaven. You have that desire. But down deep you're thinking, you know, I just don't know. You're really not anticipating that. You don't know about that. And I don't know, maybe that's the devil that's placed those doubts in your heart. Maybe the devil has done that to you. Or maybe you've lived in a way that you have a reason to doubt. And folks, we don't want you to leave today with doubts. We don't want you to leave today discouraged. We don't want you to leave in despair. We want you to leave with hope. Not only a desire to be saved, but an expectation to be saved. And let me give you three reasons why you can have this thing that we call hope. Three reasons why you can sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In the first place, we can have hope because we have a Father that loves us. A Father that loves us. You're in Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to stay with the text. Look back to verse 6. Ephesians 4, verse 6. Paul says, there's one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. I've already asked this question, but let me ask for a show of hands, okay? Let me ask you to respond to this question. How many baptized believers do we have in this audience? You believe in Christ and you have put on Jesus in baptism. Look around, folks. That's most of us, right? Most of us. I have some good news for you. We call this a gospel meeting, right? You know what gospel means? Good news. Here's the good news. You have a Father that loves you. You say, Keith, my father abused me when I was a kid. I'm not talking about your father. You say, a good father? My father ran off with another woman, left mom to struggle with his children. I'm not talking about your father. I'm talking about your father. You have a good father. And may I tell you how good your father is? When this thought occurred to me many, many years ago, it literally changed my life. It changed my life. I went from a burdened Christian to a blessed Christian. I went from a guilt-ridden Christian to an at-peace kind of Christian. It's a very simple thought, but it literally changed my life. And the thought that changed my life is this. My father is so good. He wants me to be saved even more than I want myself to be saved. Let me say it like this, folks. Your father, our father, is so good, he wants us to go to heaven even more than we want ourselves to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? You just missed a wonderful time to say amen. So I'll give you another shot, okay? You want to go to heaven? Amen. You say, go to heaven? Be saved more than life? Sure, I want to go to heaven. See, that's a great desire. But no matter how strong your desire is to go to heaven, no matter how fired up you become, you can read and study your Bible every day. You can get out here and knock on doors. You can set up Bible studies. You can attend every church service there is to attend, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can get down on your knees and pray 17 times a day. But no matter how strong your desire is to go to heaven, no matter how fired up you become, there's a God in heaven who loves you. And He wants you to be saved even more than you want yourself to be saved. And if you don't believe it, look at the cross. God says, that's how much I love you. I'm telling you, folks, God is not against you. He's for you. Let me ask the daddies of this audience. Daddies, do you want your own kids to go to heaven? I have three kids. I have a son. I have two daughters. I have five grandbabies. You think I, as a papa, you think I want my own children to go to heaven, my grandchildren, more than life? Sure, I want my kids to go to heaven. And if I want that for my kids, don't you know the Heavenly Father wants that for His kids again? God is not against you. He's for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Romans 8 and verse 31. I'm telling you, folks, you can leave this morning with hope. Not only a desire to be saved, but an expectation to be saved. Because, number one, you have a Father that loves you. Let me give you the second reason why you can have hope. In the second place, you have a Lord that lifts you. Number one, a Father that loves you. And number two, a Lord that lifts you. You're in Ephesians chapter 4. Check out verse 5. Verse 5. Do you see it in verse 5, Ephesians 4? One Lord. One Lord. Jesus said in John 12, 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So you have a Father that loves you and a Lord that lifts you. Go back to the time that Jesus was lifted up from the earth. Did you see Jesus a few minutes ago? Did you see His blood and His body? Did you see the nails? Did you feel the pain? Did you see that Roman soldier as he took one of those spikes and he placed that spike in that proper place? And he began to drive that thing in. The other hand, he began to drive that thing in. One foot above the other foot, he began to drive that thing in. And in your mind, in your heart, can't you just feel the pain that our Lord must have felt as He was lifted up above the earth and all of His weight is upon His hands and His feet? And in order for our Lord to breathe, He has to push Himself up while sagging on the cross. He can taking air, but in order to blow it out, he has to push himself up. And he does that over and over and over. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I don't know. I tell you, I don't know how to preach that, folks. How do you preach, Father, forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. Man, in the church, we can get so uptight at one another. We can get so mad at one another. If you're to the right of me, you're conservative. If you're to the left of me, you're liberal. If you're to the right of me, you're traditional. If you're to the left of me, you're progressive. We can call each other names and we can get mad at one another. And Jesus just says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who would you die for? Take a lot of love, wouldn't it, to die for somebody? Would you die for me? A stranger? Somebody from Tennessee, somebody you really don't know, would you die for me? Would I die for you? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I tell you, you can leave with hope because you have a Lord that lifts you. I want you to imagine. Imagine, if you will, that in just a few minutes, somebody, as we stand to sing the invitation song, somebody steps out into this aisle, comes to the front, and he says, you know, I don't know a lot, but I do know that Jesus wants me to be born again, born of water and the Spirit. I know I need to be baptized. I know what Jesus taught in Mark 16, 16. Anybody that believes and is baptized should be saved. I've been thinking about that, and I've been talking about that. And, you know, I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized. Oh, you want to be baptized? I want to be baptized. And so he goes back here to one of these rooms. He changes clothes. He goes down into this baptistry. And Brother Mark, your preacher says something like, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. And he pushes this guy under the water and he brings him up. Question. Is he saved or lost? Sincerely from the heart, he believes in Christ. He's willing to change, repent. He makes that good confession. Jesus is Lord and is baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Let's say that on the way up out of the baptistry, he trips and he falls, breaks his neck, he dies. Question, is he going to heaven or to hell? Saved or lost? No doubt about it. If you believe Jesus, anybody that believes and is baptized should be saved. What if he doesn't die? What if he lives for another 20 or 30 years? And then he dies. For 20 or 30 or 40 years, he lives for Jesus. And then he takes that last breath. You know what some of us have come to believe? Some of us have come to believe that no longer can he be certain of his salvation. No longer can he be sure that he's going to heaven. And by implication, we have said that the newborn babe, the new Christian, has more assurance than the child of God who lives for God 20 or 30 or 40 years. And by implication, we have said the longer you live for Jesus, the less hope, the less assurance you have. And I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, you can leave this morning with hope. You can leave with hope. Because the same blood that washed away your sins when you were baptized into Him, arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. And the same blood that washed away your sins when you were baptized keeps on washing away your sins as long as you walk in the light. 1 John 1:7. You remember the verse? If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, keeps on cleansing us from sin. Let me tell you what that means in a very practical sense. The faithful, notice I said faithful, I did not say perfect. The faithful child of God is always saved. He's not saved one moment and lost the next. He's not covered by grace here and out of grace there. He's not washed by the blood one day and out of the blood of Jesus the next. The faithful child of God is always saved. He's saved 24-7, 7 days a week, 24 hours every day. You say, Brother Keith, can a child of God be lost? Well, absolutely you can be lost. We can be lost. All of us can be lost. We can be like that dog that goes back to the vomit. We can be like that pig that goes back to the mud. 2 Peter chapter 2. We can quit walking in God's direction, toward God, in God, in God's direction. But as long as we walk in God, in the light, toward God, that blood just constantly keeps us clean. I'm telling you, folks, you can leave this morning with a smile on your face and a song in your heart and a leap in your step. You can leave this morning with hope. Why? Number one, you have a Father that's crazy about you. He loves you. And then number two, you have a Lord that lifts you. He shed His blood for you. And that blood that washed away your sins when you were baptized just keeps on washing away your sins as long as you walk in the light. But let me give you the third reason why you can have hope. Number one, you have a Father that loves you. Number two, you have a Lord that lifts you. And then number three, you have a Spirit that lives within you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit. Let me tell you what happens when somebody is baptized into Christ. At least three wonderful things happen. Number one, his sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. We have some people in this audience that need to be baptized. You really need to be baptized to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. You really do. We want you to be baptized today. I tell you, the hard thing about being baptized is not baptism. The hard thing about becoming a Christian is being willing to change. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to surrender? We call that repentance. If you're willing to repent, when you repent and are baptized, number one, The blood of Jesus washes away your sins. Number two, when you're baptized, you're added to the family of God. We call the family of God the church. You automatically become a member of God's body, God's church. The third wonderful thing that happens when you're baptized into Christ, your sins are washed away, you're added to the family of God, the church, and you're given a very special gift. You know what you're given when you're baptized? You're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, Keith, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. Acts 2:38, it's our verse. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. We often stop there. That's not the end of the verse. He goes on to say, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, Keith, I'm confused. What's the gift of the Holy Spirit? I don't understand. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me illustrate like this. Young man, black shirt, you that's looking at your brother and sister. Would you come? Would you come? What's your name? Amari. Amari. You ever heard of Amari Cooper? Played for Alabama, the Crimson Tide. Amari. Always wanted to meet you. Amari, good to see you. I've got a gift for you. This is my gift to you. It's the gift of $5. He's shocked. He's never seen a preacher give away money in his life. My gift to you, no strings attached. You can sit down. Amari, the gift of a $5 bill is what? A $5 bill. The gift of a $20 bill, that would have been better, right? The gift of a $20 bill is a $20 bill, right? And folks, it just seems to me that the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38, is the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit that God gives to all them that obey Him, Acts 5:32. See, if you're a baptized believer, your sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. You've been added to the family of God, the church, and the Holy Spirit is living inside you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And the Holy Spirit prays for you and strengthens you. And everywhere we go to the bank, the Holy Spirit goes with us. We go to the grocery store, Holy Spirit is there. We go home, Holy Spirit is there. I'm telling you, folks, you can leave this morning with hope because, number one, you have a Father that loves you. Number two, a Lord that lifts you. And you have the Holy Spirit who enables you, strengthens you, encourages you by His very presence in our lives. You have the Spirit that lives within you. You've listened well. But I've got to ask a question. Honestly, do you have hope? To answer that question, let me ask three other questions. They're very simple. Question number one, I'm talking to you. You have a father? I'm not asking, is your daddy still living? I'm asking, can you close your eyes and bow your head and say, Father, Abba in heaven, is God your father? Are you His child? The book, the Bible, what does the Bible say? I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all the children of God by faith, for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27. Have you been baptized into Christ? Is God your Father or are you His child? That's question number one. Question number two, we're just trying to find out if we have hope. Is Jesus your Lord? He said, why do you call me Lord if you're not willing to do what I've asked you to do? Luke 6:46. Are you doing what Jesus wants you to do? And then question number three, do you have a spirit? I'm not talking about your spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit living within you? Is God living within you? See, we're just trying to find out, do you have hope? So we go back to that question that I asked my 85 students. If you were to die right now, or if Jesus were to come today, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I don't know, D, neither heaven or hell? Could I be honest with you? We have some people in this audience. You're struggling with that question. You want to go to heaven. You want to be saved. But maybe there are some doubts. And again, maybe Satan has placed those doubts in your heart, or maybe you've lived in a way that you have a reason to doubt. And again, we don't want you to leave today with doubts. We want you to leave with hope. With hope. So what's going to happen today? Huh? Will anything good happen today? Wouldn't it be great if maybe 4 or 5 people could come and say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to be baptized into Christ. We have some people in this audience that need to be baptized. Why don't you make up your mind right now when we sing that invitation song, I'm going to obey Jesus today. Maybe you're thinking, well, Keith, I was baptized back in the 1950s. I raised my hand a few minutes ago. I was baptized back in the 1970s. I've been a Christian for 15 years. Oh, you've been a Christian for 15 years? I'm glad you're a Christian. How are you and Jesus doing right now? See, maybe we have some baptized believers who just need to reclaim that hope. You need to do as John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Maybe you haven't been walking in the light. You haven't been walking toward God, in God, in God's direction. You just need to live better and do better. It can start again today. I don't know what you've been praying. Let me tell you what I've been praying. I've been praying as we sing the very first verse of this invitation song. The very first verse. That somebody in this audience would lead the way. Somebody would come and say, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. I'm a Christian, but I just need to come clean and I want to be prayed for. I don't know if I've been praying for somebody over on this side or somebody over on this side, somebody back in the back or somebody down at the front. I don't know if I've been praying for male or female, somebody young or somebody old. But I have seen it all across America, from coast to coast, from the Carolinas to California. It usually takes one person to respond. It usually takes one person to come and say, pray for me. I'm a Christian, but man, I just need to reclaim my hope. And you know, when one responds, you know what happens usually? Usually there's another response. And then another, and more and more and more. But it takes that one person to break the ice. So I've been praying. As we sing the very first verse of this invitation song, somebody in this audience would lead the way. God wants you to have hope. You want to be saved. Do you expect that by His grace? If not, reclaim that hope. Need to become a Christian? Just come and say, I'm ready. As a Christian, you just need to come clean. Come and say, pray for me. Who's going to lead the way? Who's going to lead the way? I've been praying for you. I'll meet you down here at the front. And if you come, I have a feeling, just a feeling, there are going to be a lot of responses today. To God be the glory. To Him be the praise. He's given us that hope. Why don't you come? Lead the way. Let's stand and let's sing.